السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
تبدأ؟
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we are on باب الحياء, the chapter about الحياء in our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The first hadith under that chapter heading Bab Al-Haya occurs as hadith 597, hadith 597. The second hadith under that chapter occurs as hadith 598. These two narrations we have read in the last classes we had. The next hadith under the Babul Haya occurs as hadith 599. We repeatedly mentioned in the last two classes that Al Haya'u Nam, usually translated as modesty or shyness, it actually refers to a character, يمنع الشخص من الفعل القبيح بسبب الإيمان. It is a way of behavior, a mindset that controls the individual. يمنعه من الفعل القبيح. It will prevent him from getting into obscene matters. He would want to do something, but he says, no, this thing does not befit Iman. And so he would hold back. He would want to say something. He would say, this thing does not befit Iman. And so he would hold back. He would want to take an action. He say, no, this thing does not befit Iman. So he will hold back. This is what Haya'u does for the individual, and that is how it manifests in Hadith 599. Al-Imam al-Bukhari seeks to also tell us more about Al-Haya'. So he said, حدثنا علي بن الجعد قال أخبرنا شعبة عن قتادة عن عبد الله بن عبيد الله مولى أنس قال سمعت أبا سعيد قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها وكان إذا كره شيئا عرفناه في وجهه. الإمام البخاري reports that hadith from his Sheikh علي بن الجعد. علي بن الجعد was one of the major teachers of الإمام البخاري أبو الحسن البغدادي رحمه الله. الإمام البخاري reported a number of ahadith from him in As-Sahih. In fact, this hadith with this isnad and this matn occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The point is that Ali ibn al-Jad, Abu al-Hasan al-Baghdadi, was from the major teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. He said, أخبرنا شعبة. well known from the scholars of Hadith and Sunnah, Shu'batu ibn al-Hajjaj. He used to be called Amirul Mu'minin fi al-Hadith. He was reporting from his well-known teacher Qatada, that is Qatada ibn Di'ama, rahimahullah, as-Sadusi. This isnad has Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, Mawla Anas. However, this name itself should occur as Abdullah ibn Abi Utba, Mawla Anas ibn Malik. There are issues regarding his name. Some of the scholars say he was Ubaidullah ibn Abi Utba. Some say he was Abdullah ibn Abi Utba. And here we have it that as Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, Mawla Anas ibn Malik. But many of the scholars say his name was Abdullah ibn Abi Utba. And that may mean that Ubaidullah is the name of Abu Utba. And that will resolve the matter, inshallah. So he is the person reporting from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abi Utba is the one reporting from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Ibn Abi Utba here was from amongst the Tabi'un. He was mentioned as Mawla Anas ibn Malik, that is a freed slave of Anas, radiyallahu anhu. He also reported a hadith from a number of companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Utba Abdullah, he said, Samitu Abu Sa'id is reporting this hadith from that well-known learned from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri min al-mashhurin bil-kunya. He was from amongst those companions who we are almost forgetting their name because they got popular with their kunya, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. The same thing applies to Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, Uqba ibn Amr. So we always say Abu Mas'ud al-Badri, Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. The same way we are used to saying Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. He is Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan. He said, Kana al-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was describing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Said, Kana al-Nabiy ashadda haya'an min al-azra'i fi khidriha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kana ashadda haya'an min al-azra'. He was stronger. He was more intense in his haya, in his modesty, as they translate it. But that actually, as we have repeatedly said, in his holding back, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from anything that is obscene, that is indecent, that is a thing of shame. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ashadda haya'an min al-azra. Sometimes the thing of shame may not be something that is absolutely haram, but it will just be something that's not honorable. Ikhwah, let us look at this matter. it may not be from the muharramat. It may just be from issues of muru'ah, issues of noble character, issues of good conduct. If it is not of good conduct, if it is not of nobility, he will still hold back, alayhi salatu wasalam, meaning that all that he wanted to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, were the best of things. All that he wanted to do were the best, the noblest of issues. So if a person was all about the best, the best, the best, how easy will it be for him to fall into haram? It will be very difficult because he's far away from haram. If a person would avoid something that was ordinarily lawful, because that is not the behavior of noble people in the society. Respected people don't behave like that. I give us an example. Somebody can sit down outside his house on the street, licking mango, and the fluid from the mango can drain to his arm, and then he begins to lick it. This is something, I mean, on the street. He's outside the house, and he begins to lick the hand right on the street. Everybody is looking at him. In fact, he may be exchanging greetings and taslim with people walking on the street to and fro. It may be difficult to say that this is haram, but this is certainly not from the way of noble people. Respected people will cut the mango into small sizes, put it in a plate, get a spoon or a fork, and gradually pick these cut, well-cut, neat mango to the mouth. And they may not sit outside on the street to do that. They'll go to a place that's a bit private to do that. And in fact, before they start, they have a bowl of water to wash their hands before and after picking the mangoes to the mouth. You can see the difference between these two behaviors. That first one itself, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would avoid it, even though we may not be able to say that it is haram. But it is not from muru'ah. It is not from sound moral ethics. It is not from noble character to sit down on the streets, begin to lick the mango with your hand, take the brush, you know, hold it, the entirety of the mouth and the beard is rubbed by the fluids from the mango. I'm just giving us an example of noble character. He would not do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because many of us in our own times, we are so cling to haram. We'll be asking, is that haram? Is that haram? It is not just living haram that we are encouraged in our religion. We are also encouraged to live things that may be lawful, but they are not from the best ways to do something. Leave those ones aside. Do the best thing. That's why the Quran describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. It says, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. You were on, or you are on, a very high scale of noble and respected character of esteem. This was the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana ashadda haya'an min al-azra fi khidriha. The Prophet had more haya alayhi salatu wasalam min al-azra. Al-azra'u is the young virgin girl who still has her bakara. She still has her uzra. The uzra of a girl is the virginity. The uzra of a girl is the virginity. So the azra'u are those girls who still have their virginity maintained. They still have their bakara maintained. Did not become in descent in the history of our religion and in the provisions of Islam. Young girls who are like this, they have their khidr. The khidru is her sitru. The khidru is what? Sitru, where they maintain their privacy in the house. The khidru is at the walls or curtains where young virgin girls keep away. They avoid having anything to do with men outside the house. And even inside the house, they are still reserved. They are still reserved. This place where they keep their reservations, they are shy. They are modest. They keep away from indecency. They don't like anything from their bodies to become exposed. This place is called Khidr, and it is the sitr of the young virgin girls. Unfortunately, in our own times, the young virgin girls are few, very few, because parents have become a bit nonchalant about helping young girls to preserve this chastity. In the name of opening up to the society, we've allowed young girls access to men. Many young girls, Allahu Alam, have on their telephones men, they chat with men, they talk to young boys under various guises. We want to write exams together. He's my classmate, he's my seatmate, he's my neighbor. And with all of these excuses, young girls have become exposed to men or to boys, maybe of their ages or of ages above them. May Allah protect us. Now, when we bring them into the four walls of the universities as they are more exposed to more men. They are more exposed to young boys, their age mates, and all of these. And they begin to chat, WhatsApp, it's all of these. In all of these, the haya'u becomes gradually lost. So they do not become like the girls described in this hadith. Al-adhra'u fi khidriha refers to young virgin girls in their privacies. When young virgin girls are in their privacies, they are very honorable. They are shy. They are far from indecency. Far away from the sight of men. Not to say they are the ones coming in front to negotiate, talk to men, have access to men. In fact, some parents think that when their girls are able to face men, it means that they are good girls. Some Muslim parents think that when their young girls are bold, they come, they can talk to men, access men, you know, and all of these, that shows that yes, the girls are good girls. That is not the way our religion sees it. Our Islam sees girls as people who are disconnected completely from men. In every sense of the word, they are disconnected from them. So because they are people of haya prevents them from coming out to begin to talk to men, interact with men and boys, chat, talk, and all of these. So these kinds of young virgin girls who are far away from the opposite sex that are not their maharim, they are shy people of haya, people of sound modesty because of iman. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was more of haya'u than these kinds of young virgin girls. The Prophet was a very, very conscious person about al-haya'u. Do we not see that in Islam, even when a young girl is to be married, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks that the young girl, young virgin girl, should get the khitbah from her parents. The companions were wondering, how will her consent be sought? How will a young girl say with her mouth I love this one. I accept to marry him. I accept to marry this man. How will a young girl say that? And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when she is silent, she has accepted. I am sure we know that our own girls are far away from this kind of haya'u. The haya'u that makes her, even at the time of khitbah for marriage, she's just silent. Because ordinarily, when she does not like it, she'll give a sound. She'll give a movement. She'll give a look, something to indicate that she does not want. But when she wants, she is full of joy inside her. You see her covering her mouth when her father talks to her about things like that. She's shy. She covers her mouth. She's smiling inside. So then we know that she has accepted. Today, parents tell the girl to go and bring a husband for marriage. This is supposed to be a young Muslim girl that is full of haya'u. Today, parents tell the girl, go and bring a man to marry. Because the girls, young girls, have been so exposed to the opposite sex without limits in our own times. In the name of various things that we are looking for, may Allah protect us from all of these, because they have consequences. May Allah protect us. So as for the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, كان أشد حياء من الأذرع في خدرها. The shyness, the haya of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, was even more than the haya of a young virgin girl behind her screens. From the things that will make us know about the Prophet's haya is that كان إذا كره شيئا عرفناه في وجهه. If we did something, إِذَا كَرِهَ شَيْئًا, if the Prophet disliked anything, the scholars say مِنْ جِهَةِ الطَّبْعِ أَوْ الشَّرْعِ, whether that thing has to do with things we like ordinarily as human beings, مِنْ جِهَةِ الطَّبْعِ, maybe a food that he did not like, maybe a cloth that he did not like, maybe a shoe type that he did not like. As people may like and dislike things like that, and it is lawful for us to like and dislike things like that. If he did not like it, he will not say to your face, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like, he will not do that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He will be honorably silent. The way you will know that he does not like it is that he will give a look that does not show likeness. إذا كره شيئا عرفناه في وجهه. If he disliked something, the way you know it is that you will see it on his face, in his countenance. His countenance will convey the message. He will not go on to say to you, this food you have given me, I don't like it. Why? He would not want to offend your sensibilities. He was so careful about how people felt, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about his own responses to things. So you will not see him confronting people with his personal likes, alayhi salatu wasalam, or even with the issues of the Sharia. When he would respond, you would not see him, many times he would not be mentioning the people by their names. When they commit an error requiring that he should say something, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, in the Ba'adhan Nas, if some people are doing like this, some people are behaving like this, some people are talking like this, and this thing that these people are saying is not correct. If the matter reaches the condition that he has to say something, he would say it in a way that is still honorable. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He will not be obscene in his language. He will not be indecent. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Far from all of these was he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will still convey the message with some level of honor, such that the message is taken And in fact, even when he is harsh, you see the harshness, and that you still see him maintaining good, noble expressions in his rejection verbally of things that require clear explanations to show that they are not lawful. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of haya'u, kana ashadda haya'an min al-azra'i fi khidriha. He was even of a bigger haya min al-azra than a young virgin girl fi khidriha when she is in her privacy. She was always a shy person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had more haya than young virgin girls. وَكَانَ إِذَا كَرِهَا شَيْئًا أَرَفْنَاهُ فِي وَجْهِهِ. If we did something, or if he saw something that he did not like, we would see it just on his face. He was not going on fighting everybody, quarreling everybody, criticizing everything the way we behave today. Most times, one of the things that make people become obstinate upon something that is bad is the approach of we who want to correct them. We who want to correct things, sometimes we make people become obstinate. Yes, some of the people are fujar, fusak in themselves, mubtadi'a. But we should not forget the approach of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Even when he is harsh in a condemnation, you will still see goodness in that harshness, alayhi salatu wasalam. You still see in that, yes, situations may require that he spoke toughly, but in that toughness, you still see kindness inside it. You still see esteem inside it. And most of the times, his countenance will show that he was not pleased at all with the circumstance. Now his followers respected him, alayhi salatu wasalam. The companions were full of esteem for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So whenever they saw that his countenance had changed, they understood that the situation was bad. So haya'u is so important and pivotal. You are doing a sermon and your statements are vulgar. We have people like this in our own society, Southwest Nigeria. When they preach, the language is bad, it's vulgar. You'll almost say, ah, Sheikh, please, or doctor, oh, please, it's okay. This, don't use this kind of a language in a sermon. So for the sake of Allah, let us watch our language when we explain the religion to the people. Watch your language. Don't be indecent. Don't be obscene towards your listeners. Obscenity is bad. Whether it is spoken independently or you put it inside someone, it does not remove its being obscene. The Prophet was not, alayhi salatu salam, a person who spoke obscenity and indecency. What is it that will prevent us from obscene language and indecent language? Al-haya'u. So when you find a person in his language and actions, usually obscene and indecent, we know that it is because of what? Qillatul haya, small haya'u that he has. The same thing, a husband and a wife. The same thing, two brothers, two friends. When you see one of you is always obscene in his language, it is because of haya'u that is small with him. Why do we say haya'u is small? It is haya'u that will prevent him from obscenity. So when something that will hold him back from obscenity is small, then you see him doing and saying things just as he likes, then he will fall into obscenity without control, because the control is what? Weak. That control, that self-control is called what? Al-Haya'u. I hope that this matter is clear. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan, said, radiallahu anhu, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها، وكان إذا كره شيئا عرفناه في وجهه. كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أشد حياء. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was so intense and strong, stronger in his حياء من العذراء في خدرها than a young virgin girl inside her privacy. Young virgin girl is so shy in her privacy. Even if her mother knocks the door to come in, you see her, she's quickly adjusting herself because of this haya that she has. The Prophet's haya is bigger than that. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wa kana idha kariha shay'an arafnahu fi wajhihi. If the Prophet disliked something, we noticed it on his countenance. The number that follows has a similar isnad or a similar matnu with what we just read. So Al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Bashar, that is Al-Imam Bundar Abu Bakrin Al-Basri. He had a nickname amongst the scholars, Bundar, Muhammad ibn Bashar. He said, حدثنا يحيى وابن مهدي محمد بن بشار الإمام بندار reported that hadith from two of his teachers. The two of them, their kunyas were Abu Sa'id, Abu Sa'id. الإمام يحيى ابن معين معذرة يحيى ابن سعيد القطان. His kunya was Abu Sa'id, يحيى Ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. His kunya was Abu Sa'id. Al-Imam Abdul Rahman Ibn Mahdi. His kunya was also what? Abu Sa'id. And the two of them were very, very close. Ibn Sa'id al-Qattan and Ibn Mahdi, Al-Imam Abdul Rahman. They were very, very close. They were colleagues. They learned together. They taught together. They traveled together for learning and all of these. And their positions are usually close by Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan and Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. The kunya of each of them was what? Abu Sa'id. Abu Sa'id. Rahimahum Allah. The two of them report this hadith from Al-Imam Shurba ibn al-Hajjaj. In the last isnad that we read, 599, that report from Shurba came from Aliyu ibn al-Ja'd. This time, the report came from Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan and Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi. The both of them were from the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. So in this case, they both reported from Shurba ibn al-Hajjaj, who reported from Qatada, from Abdullah ibn Abi Utbah, Mawla Anas ibn Malik. I hope that that is clear now. And Abdullah ibn Abi Utbah was now reporting from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan, radiyallahu anhu. So he said, mithlahu, meaning that the wording of that hadith with this is not is similar to the wording of the hadith we just read, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam kana ashadd haya'an min al-adhra'i fi khidriha wa kana idha kariha shay'an arafnahu fi wajhihi. Qala Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah here was al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. He said, wa qala Gundarun وابن أبي عدي غندر. That is الإمام محمد بن جعفر غندر and ابن أبي عدي. In their own reports, they added مولى أنس. مولى أنس. They also added that to the name of عبد الله ابن أبي عتبة. مولى Mawla Anas. So the point here is that description of the haya'u of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet had more haya'u than a young virgin girl in her privacy. I think that will suffice for that hadith, inshallah. We can come to hadith number 600. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah, قال حدثنا إبراهيم بن سعد عن صالح عن ابن شهاب قال أخبرني يحيى بن سعيد بن العاص أن سعيد بن العاص أخبره أن عثمان وعائشة حدثاه أن أبا بكر استأذن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وهو مضطجع على فراش عائشة لابسا مرط عائشة فأذن لأبي بكر وهو كذلك فقضى إليه حاجته ثم انصرف ثم استأذن عمر رضي الله عنه فأذن له وهو كذلك فقضى إليه حاجته ثم انصرف قال عثمان ثم استأذنت عليه فجلس وقال لعائشة اجمعي إليك ثيابك قال فقضيت إليه حاجتي ثم انصرفت قال فقالت عائشة يا رسول الله لم أرك فزعت لأبي بكر وعمر رضي الله عنهما كما فزعت لعثمان قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن عثمان رجل حي إن عثمان رجل حي وإني خشيت إن أذنت له وأنا على تلك الحال ألا يبلغ إلي في حاجته. This hadith goes to make us understand the importance of al-haya in it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports from his Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah, who reported from his own Shaykh Ibrahim ibn Sa'd ibn Ibrahim ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Ibrahim ibn Sa'd in this isnad was from the great grandchildren of Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He is Ibrahim ibn Sa'd ibn Ibrahim ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Ibrahim ibn Sa'd ibn Ibrahim, Ibrahim ibn Sa'd ibn Ibrahim ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf. He was reporting from Salih. He used to be called Salihun al-Mu'addibu. That is Salihun ibn Kaysan, Mu'addibu Abnai, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that Khalifa, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, he had a mu'addib from amongst the scholars, a person who teaches character, who teaches behavior, like a model for his children. That was Salih ibn Kaysan, well known, very knowledgeable, Salih ibn Kaysan. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was the Khalifa. He made Salih ibn Kaysan to teach his children good, noble character. In our own times, we bring people to teach our children mathematics and English and physics and chemistry. I don't know whether we pay attention to noble characters to such an extent that children, we have a particular teacher teaching them how to behave and how not to behave. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz had a teacher who took care of teaching the children good behavior, good character. In our own times now, we say they are mentors and mentees. But you know those you made the mentors of your children. They are engineers and accountants, because your concern is how to make the children be engineers and accountants, no matter their behavior. Yes, it is good to do that. But don't forget, Allah will ask you about their religion. So if you don't have a teacher, this is not the teacher teaching them Quran and Hadith and Lugha. He is teaching them adab, noble character. Because amongst the Muslims in the past, noble character used to be learnt the way we learn mathematics today. If you didn't have character, you are worthless and useless, no matter the mathematics and English that you know. That was the condition of noble character in the early times of Islam. So you see, parents bring a teacher to teach the children how to behave. One of those who did that for Omar ibn Abdulaziz regarding his children was Salih ibn Kaysan. He used to be called Mu'addibu Abna'i Umar ibn Abdulaziz. He was the Mu'addib of the children of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, rahimahullah. If Umar ibn Abdulaziz will employ somebody to teach him his children character, how about you and I? May Allah protect us. Salih ibn Kaysan, he had a colleague and a friend, and that was Al-Imam Al-Zuhri ibn Shihab. But here, Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri had a hadith that Salih ibn Kaysan did not have. Ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri had a hadith that Salih ibn Kaysan did not have. So Salih took those reports from Ibn Shihab. And so he reports from him as a student will report from his teacher. Because, of course, regarding those reports, his teacher, even though they were colleagues, and Salih was older in age than Al-Imam Al-Zuhri. Salih ibn Kaysan was older in age than Zuhri. That shows his character code. Salih ibn Kaysan was older than Al-Imam Al-Zuhri, yet he took knowledge from Zuhri. Bad character will make him to scorn as Zuhri, despite the fact that they were colleagues in most of their teachers. Yet, whatever he found out that this is clear to Zuhri, I don't have it. He took it from Zuhri. So in this report, Salih ibn Kaysan reports it from Al-Imam Al-Zuhri Muhammad ibn Muslim ibn Shihab ibn Zuhri. So he said, Akhbarani Yahya ibn Sa'id ibn al-As. Yahya ibn Sa'id ibn al-As, that is Abu Umar. Rahimahullah, he is reporting from Sa'id ibn al-As. Sa'id ibn al-As was a very young companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet died, Sa'id ibn al-As was just 9 years old. The reason I chose to speak about him was because he was not so well known amongst companions, Sa'id ibn al-As. This is not Amr ibn al-As. This is Sa'id ibn al-As. His father died during the Battle of Badr. The father of Sa'id ibn al-As died during the Battle of Badr. And when the Prophet died, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sa'id ibn al-As was just 9 years old. He was older than Hassan and Hussein. He will be in the age rank of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. So Sa'id ibn al-As took this report from Uthman ibn Affan and Aisha. In fact, for Uthman ibn Affan, he so much liked Sa'id ibn al-As, he made him a governor over Kufa. Sa'id ibn al-As, Uthman ibn Affan made him a governor over Kufa. He used to be called Sa'id ibn al-As al-Umawi, radiyallahu anhu. We said he was from the companion school. He was 9 years old when the Prophet died, so he comes into being a companion of the Prophet. He said, Uthman ibn Affan and Aisha, the two of them told him the story. So he's able to connect the stories. He heard it from Aisha. He also heard it from who? Usman radiallahu anhuma. Aisha was present. Usman was involved. Aisha was present from the beginning of this incident to the end of it. But Usman was involved. So of course, what he heard from one of them, he will connect it to what the other one said to make a full story. So we are reading a full story from Aisha and who? Usman, reported by who? Sa'id ibn al-As, from each of them. That is what you gain if you learn from many teachers. These days, teachers don't even like their students to learn from another person except from them. They hoard students. And that's because many teachers make students feel that there is nothing they don't know. It's unfortunate. Many teachers teaching Quran, Hadith, Fiqh now, they make students feel that there is nothing that I don't know. But there are many things that you don't know. Allow the students, let them see knowledge outside you, away from you, from somebody else. Let us see it. This one took from Uthman, he took from Aisha. And it was common from the ways of the early Muslims, they had many teachers. So teacher, ustaz, sheikh, don't hurt the students, because we know that you don't know everything. So let them take some other things too from others amongst the teachers. Don't hurt them. Some even poison the students not to take anything from any other person. Knowledge is vast like an ocean. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We have not been given anything except little. Everybody took from that little. So how can your own be big? If Allah said, I gave all of you qalil, how can your own be kabir or kathir? When everybody got qalil. مَا أُوتِيتُم. So don't hurt the students, allow them. When they learn from you appreciably, tell them, go to so-so person, go and learn. Go to so-so person, go and learn. Go to so-so person, go and learn. Recommend teachers to your students. Where are you staying? I'm staying in so-so place. Ah, there's a sheikh there. Go to him. Where are you living? I'm living in so-so. Ah, there's one brother there. Go to him. Recommend people you know to be good to your students. They can go and make benefits there. Don't behave as if everything starts and ends with you. May Allah protect all of us. This report, Sa'id ibn al-As reported it from Aisha and Uthman. So he has a complete story of what happened. So what was it that happened? He said, Anna Aba Bakrin ista'adhana ala Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وهو مضطجع على فراش عائشة رضي الله عنها لابسا مرطع عائشة استأذن أبو بكر. أبو بكر asks for permission على رسول الله to come into the room of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We said that room was the room of Aisha. So Abu Bakr, the father of Aisha رضي الله عنها, asks to come inside. This is one thing many Muslims don't care about in their own homes now. Many Muslims these days, children don't ask for permission to come into the rooms of their parents. They just open the door, bam, open the door. Take care of istizan in your homes. Make your children, as they move from one room to the other, let them say taslim and ask for permission to come in before they are allowed to come in. Assalamu alaikum. You reply, wa alaykum as-salam. A-adkhul, should I come in? Or a-alij, should I come in? If it is knocking, you want to knock, you must still say as-salamu alaykum before you knock. This is the adab of istizan. The first thing you say in front of the door is what taslim. As-salamu alaykum. Summa tastazin. Then you ask for permission. You either ask for that permission verbally or you knock. I hope that we understand the position of knocking now. Knocking means, can I come in? So if you don't knock, you can say it with your mouth. Alij, adkhul. Maybe there's a curtain in front of the door, covering the door, that you may not be able to knock a curtain. So don't touch the curtain in that circumstance. What do you say? Adkhul, alij, should I come in? Should I come into the room? If you don't hear a response, don't go in. Even if you ask for permission, 1, 2, 3, no response, please go away. That is what the Quran has told us. If they now respond and say, we don't have time, please come back. Gladly go away. Gladly. Gladly. It is not lawful for you to become annoyed. I even came to the house, asked for permission. They are telling me that we're in the house, but we can't entertain a visitor now. We have this kind of arrogant postures regarding these rulings sometimes. And what the Quran said to us is that, وَإِذَا كِلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. Allah told us that the best for us is that when they say, go, go, we are in the house, we are hale and heady, but we cannot entertain a visitor now. Can you come at another time? Some of us begin to become angry and haughty towards those who say that to us. In this case, it's Sa'dana Abu Bakrin. رضي الله عنه على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abu Bakr asked for permission to come in, meaning that he would say assalamu alaikum and then he will knock the door, or that he will say assalamu alaikum, then he will say alij or adkhul. So he did that. When he did that, wa huwa mudtaji'un ala firash Aisha, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was lying down, ala firashi Aisha, on the bed of Aisha, labisan mirta Aisha, he was covering himself with the cloth, with the duvet, so to speak, with the spread, bed spread of who? Of Aisha. The Prophet was covering himself on the bed. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq asked for permission to come in. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَذِنَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَهُوَ كَذَلِكِ. The Prophet allowed Abu Bakr to come in, وَهُوَ كَذَلِكِ, while he was still in that condition. He had the bed sheets or the duvet of Aisha on himself. Ikhwa, that's evidence. You can cover yourself with the duvet of your wife. So he was doing that. He said, Abu Bakr should come in. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came in. فَقَضَى إِلَيْهِ حَاجَتَهُ ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfilled the need that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq brought. He came regarding a matter, Abi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam solved the matter. ثُمَّ انْصَرَفَ. After that, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq left and went away. قَالَ Uthman. That before that, ثم استأذن عمر فأذن له وهو كذلك. After Abu Bakr al-Siddiq left, Umar now came. استأذن. He asked for permission to come in. You see them asking for permission. Abu Bakr did not say, oh, my daughter is in the house, so I can enter as I like. Don't be that kind of an arrogant man. Don't be like that. Umar didn't say, of course, the Prophet married my daughter, I'm his in-law, so if I come into, I can enter as I like. No, respect yourself. Ask for permission properly. Ista'adhana Umar. Umar gave his daughter to the Prophet. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq gave his daughter to the Prophet. Some people are like that. Once you marry their daughter, you become their slave. They think that they can bump into your house and your privacy as they like. It is not like that. You cannot come to my house as you like. Ask for permission properly and be decent the way you like me to be decent with you. I think this is what we must exchange amongst ourselves. Be decent. If you want people to be decent with you, you be decent. Abu Bakr did not say, oh, my daughter Aisha, after all, is my daughter. Open the door. Umar did not say, oh, my daughter is in the Prophet's house. Hafsa, open the door. No. They were very decent, radiyallahu anhum. Of course, they are dealing with Sayyidu Waladi Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thumma sta'adhana Umar, fa'adhina lahu wa huwa kathalik. Umar asked for permission. The Prophet allowed him to come in while he was in that condition. Which condition? He was covering himself. Kana ala firashi Aisha. He was on the bed of Aisha. Mudtaji'an labisan mirta Aisha. He was lying down and covering himself up with the duvet, so to speak, of Aisha. So Umar came into fa'adhina lahu. He was allowed to come in. Wahuwa kathalik. While the Prophet was in that condition. فَقَضَى إِلَيْهِ حَاجَتَهُ ثُمَّ انصَرَفَ. The Prophet resolved the matter that Umar brought. ثُمَّ انصَرَفَ. After that, Umar left. رضي الله عنه. قَالَ Uthman. Uthman said, رضي الله عنه, don't forget, Sa'id ibn al-As reported these reports from both Aisha and who? And Uthman. So you can ask, why, if you say he reported from Uthman alone, how did he know what was happening, that Abu Bakr came, Uthman came? Don't forget, he reported that from who? Aisha, who was present. Uthman was not there when Abu Bakr and Umar came. But he knew what happened when he came. And Sa'id ibn al-As reported it from both Aisha and Uthman. So he could connect the story properly. It is very, very beneficial, ikhwa, to learn from more than one teacher. Even if it is that same book you are learning, you are most likely going to be getting good explanations from another perspective, from another angle. So teachers, don't hold your students. Allow them the freedom to take explanations from others besides you. May Allah protect all of us. So Umar left, Uthman came. ثُمَّ اسْتَأْذَنْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Uthman said, اسْتَأْذَنْتُ. I ask for permission from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَالَسَ وَقَالَ لِأَعِيشَ. The Prophet now sat down and said to Aisha, اجْمَعِي إِلَيْكِ ثِيَابَكِ. Aisha, اجْمَعِي إِلَيْكِ. Dress properly. Take your clothes, cover yourselves very well. This is a special instruction. It did not come regarding Abu Bakr. It did not come regarding Umar. When it was Uthman, the Prophet told Aisha, radiallahu anha, اجْمَعِي إِلَيْكِ ثِيَابَكِ. Take to yourself, wrap yourself properly in your clothes. قال, he said, Uthman said, فَقَضَيْتُ إِلَيْهِ حَاجَتِي ثُمَّ انصَرَفْتُ. I explained the matter to the Prophet that I had brought, and then I left. The Prophet fulfilled, of course, the hajjah, like he did for Abu Bakr and Umar, and then I left. قال, Uthman said, فَقَالَتْ عَيْشَةُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When I left, Aisha said, O Messenger of Allah, لَمْ أَرَكَ فَزِعْتَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ كَمَا فَزِعْتَ لِأُثْمَانٍ. لَمْ أَرَكَ فَزِعْتَ لِأَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرٍ كَمَا فَزِعْتَ لِأُثْمَانٍ. I did not see you paying attention, adjusting yourself, telling me, hey, dress well. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq came, you did not say that. You know Aisha radiallahu anha, she will ask. When Umar came, you did not do that. It was when Uthman came, you started saying, oh, dress well, this do, watch it. You started saying that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam. And this is the point of reference in this hadith. إِنَّ أُثْمَانَ رَجُلٌ حَيِّيٌّ. إِنَّ أُثْمَانَ رَجُلٌ حَيِّيٌّ. That is siga of fa'ilko. إِنَّ أُثْمَانَ رَجُلٌ حَيِّيٌّ. Aisha, Uthman is a very, very honorable person, full of haya. When a person is full of haya, you say he is what? حَيِّيٌّ. Uthman is full of haya'u. He has a lot of haya. He's a very modest person, very shy. Uthman, radiallahu anhu, rajulun hayyun. is full of a lot of haya, yani kathir al haya. He is hayyun radiyallahu anhu. Wa inni khashitu in adhintu lahu, I feared that if I allowed him to come in, wa ana ala tilka al hal, while I was in that condition, an yablugha ilayya fi, Allah yablugha ilayya fi hajatihi, I fear that Allah yablugha ilayya, he will not be expressive, he will not be able to say what he has come with, he will be shy to see me in that condition. So if he came, so he will want to quickly go back, he may not be able to say what brought him because of what, al haya'u. This is not something that is haram now. It is talking about noble character, esteem. Because many of us, we have coordinated our life. We restricted our life. Is it haram? Is it haram? Is it haram? Islam is beyond that. It is not just muharramat in our religion. There is muru'ah, noble character, modesty, shyness, haya. It's not just about haram. Because if you are filled with that, you'll be far from haram. A person who is shy, subhanAllah. Look at, the Prophet said, Inna Uthmana rajulun hayyun. Uthman is a very shy. This is testimony from Revelation. He is truly, truly a man of haya'u. Radiyallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan. Abu Amr. Radiyallahu Abdullah or Abu Abdullah. He has two kunyas. He's either called Abu Abdullah or what? Abu Amr Uthman ibn Affan. Radiyallahu anhu. Bi'idhnillah, we will come back to Uthman because this hadith recalls as the last hadith in the chapter. In that case, we'll be able to talk a little bit about the virtues of Uthman. Radiyallahu anhu. He was the Khalifa after Umar. Radiyallahu anhu. He was very vast in the Quran. He had one ibadah. This ibadah of Uthman is very rare. He reads one Quran every night. Uthman ibn Affan, he reads the entirety of the Quran in one night, in one rak'ah. The isnad is sahih, Uthman. He reads the entirety of the Quran in one night, in one rak'ah. Even the day he passed away, radiallahu anhu, he was reading the Quran. The day he passed away, he was reading the Quran. He was very, very conversant with the Quran. Always reading the Quran. Radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet was shy of him. He has respect for him because of his haya'u. Look at what noble character brings to you. If you're a person of noble character, people don't like to do something towards you that you will see and say, why are you behaving? In fact, you just move away. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. It is haya'u that makes them behave like that. When they see somebody even indecent, they just walk away. Even the walk away is not walk away of arrogance. There is a walk away of arrogance. And there is a gentle walk away of, I don't want to be a party to this. Just walk away gently. Out of respect for yourself. These days, even learned people get involved in things that they should not get involved in. Learned people get involved in talks they should not get involved in. A talk between people, dirty talk, they put their mouth, they get involved. They can't walk away. They can't look away. It's not proper to join words and quarrel with this kind of, just walk away. How about our women too? People get involved in things that does not concern them. They want to comment about everything. You can't walk away. You can't take a gentle walk away because haya'u is small in our own times. These days, people refer to haya'u as timid. You are timid. You are naive. You are. People say, I was naive. You know, because as if this word naive just came into the dictionary. I'm naive. I'm timid. You begin to query yourself about something that is good. I'm naive. I don't want to be naive. I don't want to be timid. I don't want to. It is good for you not to get involved in things that do not concern you. And when you get involved, say what is good, and then you move away. If the matter is getting dirty, you leave it and go away. But these days, people want both boys and girls to be like Allahu Alam. The reason is that haya is small in the community. Uthman ibn Affan, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has haya so much so that the problem that he brought, if he comes and sees me in like this, he may not be able to say, he will just go away. I saw the Prophet lying down on the bed of Aisha, covering himself up with the duvet of Aisha. Let me leave Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't want to disturb him. Many of us too, we don't have this kind of behaviors. You see somebody in a condition, sometimes you just need to leave him, allow him to rest. That's the time. Ustaz, please, can I ask you a question? Yeah, he's that. Maybe I may not see you again. You may see him again, but you are not considering his condition. He's not in the condition that you can start opening up a talk with him. Allow him to go. Haya should make you think that I can't raise this matter with this man like this. As for Uthman, kana rajulan hayyan. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khashitu in adhintu lahu wa ana ala tilka al-hal alla yablugha ilayya fi hajati. I fear that if I am in that condition and I told Uthman to come in, alla yablugha ilayya fi hajati, he may not be able to clearly express to me what he needs. Why? He will be full of haya. So haya'u is some, and this is part of iman. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-haya'u min al-iman. Al-haya'u is part of iman itself. It's from the iman of Uthman, now confirmed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he may not be able to say his mind. So Aisha dressed, maybe he came say Aisha is not, maybe part of her body, one place in her leg, her hand. You know the way a woman is in her room. He will just go away and say, no, I can't talk like this. Or me, the way he see me lying down, covering myself with a cloth. Maybe, I mean, Uthman may not be able to talk. So let's dress, but wait for him. A visitor is coming in. Radiyallahu anhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So this is the condition of the early Muslims. Today, some of our brothers are so rash, so harsh, so coarse and unruly. They want to call all those things as manhaju salaf. It is wrong. Our salaf were people of haya'u. They were people of shyness. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a person of haya'u, was a person of modesty. Iza kariha shay'an arafnahu fi wajhihi. When the Prophet disliked something, you see it on his face. He's not able to start saying negative, vulgar statements to people. Alayhi salatu wasalam. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. Maybe we'll look for the rest, the questions we may have, to attempt one or two of them because the time is already far spent. We are 15 minutes away from the time already. About the Rahman.
نعم شيخنا جزاك الله خير أحسن الله إليك
آمين وإياكم أبا أمير
نعم الشخص Christian here السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا please what is the difference between بكون and عذراء
the عذراء is the بكر it is just the, from the language The Azra has her Azratun. Azratun. That is virginity. This virginity you call Azratun. It is also called Bakara. That Bakara is the Azra. The Azra is the skin. That skin covering the private area of a young girl. It is called what? Azra. Ainu, Zar, Rob. And Tau Marbutov, Azratun. So she's called Azra. The same thing, the Bakara. That thing is also called Bakara, the virginity. That's, is it called Hymen in English? So that is the name with which they refer to the two of them. So the Azra is the one who still has her Azra with her. And the Bikun is the one who still has her Bakara with her. It is the same thing, depending on the language, the word you choose to use. I hope that that is clear. I mean, Abba Amir, there's a question here. Can I go on?
No,
the brother says, what is the position of wearing a cap in Islam? What is the position of wearing a cap? I don't know what he or she means by position. Are you saying that whether it is haram or it is makruh, or that from the other angle it is wajib or mustahab or it is jaiz? What is it? Is this what you mean? Because the discussion today is beyond halal and haram. Today we are talking about noble character, muru'ah. We are talking about makarimul akhlaq today, the best way to convey yourself today. That's the discussion. It's not about halal and haram. So from the perfection of your dressing, from the perfection of those things that are wajibat regarding your dressing, is that you wear a cap. From makarimul akhlaq is that you wear a cap. From nice character, nice behavior, show of respect and esteem for yourself, perfecting your dressing. From the aspects of perfecting your dressing is that you wear a cap, or you wear a turban, or you wear a khimar. Is from the aspects of perfection of dressing. If I hope that's what the brother wants. And today the discussion is not about haram or halal. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the scholars of hadith say that he was never seen observing salat hasir or ra'si without having anything on his head. He will not observe, you will not see him observing salat, nothing is on his head, kunduru. The Prophet wasn't doing that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, don't ask me, is that haram? No, don't ask me about haram today. Today is for noble character. If you observe salat without a cap on your head, you have salat. But I don't want to address today, no discussion like that. Today is for noble esteem, character, perfection. Attaining perfection and goodness, nobleness, high level character. Because when you talk about engineering, every day you tell your children you want them to have first class. You want them to have 2-1 minimum from day one. But when you are talking about the religion, you say, if we are not in haram too, you start looking for kusha haram. This is not sha haram. Because if you stay in that boundary between halal and haram, you can fall into haram. The Prophet said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Numan ibn Bashir. But if you go far away from haram, you are not likely to fall into it. So going far away from haram is that you dress properly, you wear a cap, you are decent, you are good looking. Then people of noble character and good esteem, when they dress, they wear caps. We don't know any of our scholars we see one day not wearing a cap. Some people go and wear polo, say, is it haram to wear polo? We are not talking about that today. We are talking about moral, noble character, things we know with people of respect. Can you say that's now wrong, haram for me to wear a jeans? That's not what I'm telling you. But I have not seen a learned person wearing a jean go to anywhere in the world. Go to Saudi Arabia, go to Egypt, go to UAE, go to Qatar. I have never seen, and I didn't hear anyone. I have been very close, bismillah, with 4 students of Al-Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah. I asked them, how did he used to dress? Nobody said that Al-Imam Al-Albani was wearing jeans. So I will not wear jeans. Don't ask me whether it is haram or no, don't ask that question. Because we like bringing our religion. Is it haram? Is it haram? If it's not haram, then I can do it. If you do it for a pressing benefit, that's for you. But is that the way noble, eminent people, respected people, the noble, eminent, respected people are our scholars? In Southwest here, I have not seen Dr. Sharaf, for example, wearing a jeans, top and shorts, Gucci. You will not see them doing that. So don't do it. You will not see them plaiting their hair. So don't plait your hair. Don't tell me that you saw one thing. Remove that one. Behave as they behave. Behave as your noble, eminent people. Sheikh Najmuddin Suleiman, I still saw him about 2-3 weeks ago. I did not see him wearing a jean. He was wearing a nice kaftan with a cap, looking very honorable, full of esteem and self-respect. So you, the students, you now wear jean, top short. You say it is Gucci or what other name, and you don't wear a cap. You wear a canvas. You're asking yourself whether it is haram. You will see that you do not fit to stand beside the learned people. So copy good people. Those who wear jeans and Gucci, you know them. You know them. They wear a gown of jeans. You know them. So don't behave like them. Behave like the people of nobility and esteem. That is how our scholars have been. Sheikh Bumbaz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Khudair. These are eminent learned people. Do you see them wearing jeans? If the answer is no, why are you wearing jeans? Don't ask me whether it is haram. I've said it repeatedly today. It's not about haram. It's about noble character. Haya'u makes you think that these are the people I want to be like. I don't want to be like these ones. And in our worldly affairs, we seek for the best. So why are you seeking the minimum in the affairs of your hereafter? May Allah forgive all of us. I hope that is clear, Abu Amr.
No, it doesn't. Jazakallah khair. Salamat alaykum.
Ameen.
Next speaker is Assalamu alaykum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Alaykum.
All the hadith you read to us today have an, and you already told us that hadith that have an, da'if. How can we juxtapose that?
I did not tell you any day that a hadith having an is da'if. The hadith that has an from a mudallis is the one that is da'if. Mudallis is a person who reports a hadith from a sheikh. His own sheikh is reporting from his sheikh something that he did not hear from his sheikh. You can imagine that. You see, it's a tough thing to do. You are reporting from your sheikh, but that thing you report from him, you did not hear it from him. You heard it from somebody else. You heard it from somebody else. But when you say, and because people know that you are close to that person, it's like you said from him or on his authority. We won't say you are lying because it actually came from him. But you have not clearly expressed whether you heard it like saying sami'tu or haddathana or akhbarani or akhbarana or amba'ana or expressions like this. You've not ma sarrahta bis-sama'. So when you do that, you have done tadlis. You see, our sheikh said, if you are known to be behaving like that, they call you mudallis. Even if you did it once, according to Imam Shafi'i, even if it be once, you are labeled modalist. The meaning is that if you say any sheikh regarding your sheikhs, they will tell you, "Ah, did you hear it from him?" Now let me give us an example with the isnad that we have read. Qatada ibn Di'ama is well known to do that a lot. Qatada ibn Di'ama as-Sadusi, who was reporting from Abdullah ibn Ubaidillah, or Abdullah ibn Abi Utbah. He does that list a lot. And here he has reported with an ana. Qatada is reporting with an ana. So why are we saying that the hadith is sahih? If this is your question, it's a valid question. Because Qatada is a mudallis. But we have that report from Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj was a very close student to Qatada. He used to say, I guarantee you, whatever you hear me report from Qatada, I have verified that he actually heard it, even though he's a mudallis. He heard it. So if you see Shurba reporting from Qatada, you know that there's no tadlis. I have verified. So that's why I'm reporting it from him. The reason why we did not say Qatada's report has issues here is because it is from the riwayah of who? Shuba ibn al-Hajjaj. I hope that that is clear. And perhaps that was the intent of the person asking the question. Is this clear?
No, I'm sure. There's nothing else there. Can you hear me, sir? Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.